quick they are to arrest you over minor traffic tickets.
Herbert, when we were there, there was some hope among Sung residents that we spoke to that things might get better in the aftermath of these protests, of this organizing in Ferguson and the surrounding areas. Has anything improved in the 6 months since Michael Brown was killed?
Far as the policing, no, it hasn't. It hasn't. No, I wouldn't honestly say it improved. No, it actually got worse because it seems like the crime has went up and the police are really, the jails are just running in and out like they way more packed than they were before Mike Brown was shot. The jails are way more packed, so they haven't improved at all.
Well, I want to thank you all for being with us. We'll certainly link to all the information about this. Michael John Voss, managing attorney at Arch City Defenders, Allison and Herbert Nelson Jr., plaintiffs in the class action lawsuits. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, Amati Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkafani, Masood Rabi, Karen Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'll be interviewing the head of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, Cecile Richards, at the Brooklyn Museum of Art at BAM on Wednesday night. Check our website. Site democracynow.org. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard. Your concert billboard for Monday, February 9th. Captain Black Big Band with Smoke. Jazz and Supper Club, Manhattan, 7 p.m. Broken Compass Society will be at the Mercury Lounge, Manhattan, 9:30. Morning Bound will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 2, 10:30. Your concert billboard for Tuesday, February 10th. Rachel Sage will be at Joe's Pub, Manhattan, at 7. Sly and the Family Stone, Rare Clips, 1960s and 70s. This is a film brought to you by the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village. Sarah Gazarek will be at Birdland, Manhattan, at 9. Looking ahead to Wednesday, February 11th, Frank Lacey will be at Zebulon, Sound and Light, The Big Beat, the story of Fats Domino and his band. This is a film brought to you by the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village. James Maddock will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 3.
Tune in throughout the day, each day, to hear Concert Billboard on the air or see it at the WUSB website at wusb.fm/CBB. It's a service of WUSB Stony Brook.
It is 6 p.m. here at WUSB Stony Brook. The time, the show, rather, here at 6 o'clock is, it's time for Off the Wall. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you. Hello, good evening.
Oh, wow, we're back.
We are.
We're here. We're live in the studio.
Very alive.
Wow. Of course, there's no way to really prove that, is there? No, there is a way. There is a way. Because we were planning this whole elaborate thing, right, where we went down the hallway and we got coffee, and we did that. That worked fine. And then we were going to broadcast live the launch of SpaceX, because they decided to postpone it again to 6.05 p.m. right in, at the beginning of our show. And we figured, hey, you know what? NASA TV, we can just tap into that and watch SpaceX go up. And then 10 minutes later, it's going to try and land on that platform in the Pacific Ocean again, hopefully not crash into it this time. And, you know, we're big into space and exploration and science and all that. So we got in here, right? Everything's working great. We go to their website. We play the feed. And what are they doing? They're showing a documentary about something completely unrelated.
Educational footage about drones. It's not what we wanted
not
at all.
Not all we wanted. And I'm going nuts trying to figure out what's why, where's the launch? I was watching the launch when we left to come here. It was on, so why isn't it on now? Looking all over their site for information on what might have happened. Finally, my phone, thank you, phone, my phone buzzes with a little news bulletin saying that they've postponed it again because of high winds. Why, NASA, for God's sake, why don't you put that on your website? You know, that's one thing that really annoys me, all right? Warm beer annoys me. I don't like that. But number two, I don't like websites that aren't updated, especially websites that are in the middle of something big, and launching a rocket is big, you should tell people it's postponed. So I found out from my phone, but it's not on the NASA website yet. So we're sorry. We can't broadcast the rocket going up. That would have been a first. But, you know, maybe it was too much for us to handle.
Well, OTW engineers were working very, very hard to get that signal into the studio for you today, and I'm sorry we couldn't bring it to you. We'll try again next time.
We did it. We got the signal. The signal just is wrong.
It's
boring now.
Very wrong. Yeah.
But hey, you know, we're back. I didn't want to overshadow our return by rocket ship, but that does happen sometimes. But in this particular case, we don't have the rocket ship to worry about anymore, so we can talk about us.
It was great timing. But let's talk about us. Let's talk about being back. What is this country all about? It's amazing, a really interesting place. The transportation system here is fascinating.
Can I just say, do you realize this is the first live program we have done in a radio studio since December? Any radio studio. We have done radio. Well, we've done radio on the other station over the phone, but we've also done radio in Europe on a couple of different radio shows for a station. I'd like to talk about it a little later.
Yeah, we did.
But that wasn't live. It wasn't broadcast live. It doesn't count as a live broadcast. This is a live broadcast, so it's kind of exciting.
We're happy to be here. It's very cold outside, and, well, relatively warm here. And, gosh, it's nice. It's nice to be able to talk to people. And I'm getting, where do we start? There's all kinds of news.
Well, okay. Where we start, we start with where we were. We were here in December. We went overseas to Europe. We recorded a lot of radio there that were broadcast, probably the next time we go someplace else.
Sure, yeah.
Because what you guys heard over the last few weeks was our trip from last summer, where we went to Spain, Portugal, the Autobahn, all that kind of thing. That was fun.
Interesting.
And we got a lot of feedback. Yeah. We got a lot of feedback from people listening to that. And what was particularly fun about it was that we were on the Autobahn again. We rented two different cars. It's not like we didn't each rent a car because we can't stand being in cars with each other.
No, we
rented a car, and then we went someplace else, and then we came back and rented a car again.
Right.
Because actually it was a lot cheaper and more efficient for us to rent a car than to take a train. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's true in Germany. It's really cheap to rent a car in, say, a border town, drive it all across the country, and drop it off in a different border town, and then move on to the next country. You can't do that here. If you try and drop a car off in a different city, they charge you all kinds of extra fees. But there, it's substantially cheaper than taking a train. And a train, of course, is awesome as well. But this was different. This was really, really cool. It gave us such flexibility. It was your idea last year to do this, to rent a car. And I had never done that in Germany before. And now we've done it three times.
Yeah, that technique of driving on certain legs of our journey has helped. It's a change of pace. We have a little more autonomy than, you know, being beholden to schedules and timing and tickets and stuff like that.
So I don't like being beholden to anything.
Yeah,
I really don't. No. Although, you know, it was something. When we were dropping the car off the last time, the second car, wow, that was something. It was, Aachen was the name of the town, I think.
Aachen, Germany.
In Germany. It's near Belgium because we flew out of Brussels. And we didn't know we were flying out of Brussels until literally a week beforehand. We didn't know when we were coming back. We figured we'd come back after we were finished doing some of the things we had to do. We can't tell you everything we do, but we had to do a bunch of things. And we had to finish those things before we were allowed to, before we could come back. I've said too much already. The thing is, we weren't sure where we were coming from. So that's when we rented the car to go to that particular border town so we could get into Brussels fairly easily. And we got this amazing cheap flight. It was, I think, $250 each one way from Brussels to here, just because we searched around and were flexible. And everyone said it was impossible, but we did it. And it was an Indian airline, too. So I won't tell you which one, but it was an Indian airline, and that made it all the more interesting. There were films on that plane that I have never seen any place. All different regions of India were represented, and a lot of them were captioned in English, so I was able to actually take a little trip to India while we were flying back from Brussels.
Yeah, and gosh, we really did enjoy making those little connections and learning, even up to the last minute, some things or two about the Belgian and German connections there and how you get from place to place on the trains.
And I just went off on a side note and I never came back. The reason I mentioned Aachen in Germany was because we were returning the rental car there and we had no idea where to return it to. We got to the train station, that's where we were supposed to return it, and there's no sign for our rental car company any place, and we're just basically, we weren't in a hurry because we could take any train pretty much to get into Brussels. Actually, we couldn't take the fast trains. We found that out. We almost got on the wrong train, but we didn't know where to bring the car. That was kind of frustrating for a little bit. I think you had to go into the train station and talk to a bunch of people.
I did. It was, I think I was in a place mentally where I was open to the process and how it would go. But it certainly, I took a ticket and stood in line and I came running out to you and reporting, you know, I'm going to have to do this thing here where I stand and find out stuff later.
Yeah, you know, and I got to say, what you mentioned here, being in the right mindset for something like that is so essential, because whenever you travel, whenever you go any place, things are going to get messed up. Things are going to not go the way you want them to go. And here we are in a strange place. We had to drop off a car. We had to get on a train. Okay, but because we left it flexible where you could take any train, and because we had sort of a positive attitude, okay, this is crazy. We're not going to get all stressed out and get all snippety and things like that. You basically said, okay, this is ridiculous. I've got to wait on a line in a train station to find out where to return the rental car. And yeah, you were coming out while I was sitting in the car, giving me periodic updates.
It's like that. I mean, we were in some interesting traffic jams too on this trip. Out of nowhere, you know, you have to now plan maybe forging a new route on a side road or completely bypassing a section of highway or looking through two different towns to try to figure out, you know, where you're going to stay or where you're going to meet people. And these little hiccups are the real flavor, and really they are the getting lost part.
What was our biggest hiccup? What do you think the biggest hiccup was? I have at least one prospect, I think, for something that really didn't go my way.
Staying in Hamburg? No.
Well, no, that worked out. We stayed there. We almost didn't leave because we were staying there so long.
I think it was tough to get started on a good route.
To figure out where we were going.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you decompress after a big event and then to sort of strike out and create a plan. Although we had a plan of different ways to go, but I had a little trouble getting going.
The big event you're referring to is the Chaos Communication Congress, which was taking place in Hamburg. It was our first time going to that particular venue.
Yeah.
It takes place every year from the 27th through the 30th of December, and it's a lot of fun. We met so many cool people there and hung out with people later. We wound up in Salzburg in Austria, hanging out with some people there that we had met. A lot of fun. But yeah, figuring out where, you know, because we can go anywhere. Sometimes it's a little hard to figure out, okay, what's the best place to go?
Right.
And I think what we did was I think that was the best choice because we sort of took an easterly route. We went down towards Dresden, into Dresden, in fact. Weren't aware of the whole Pegida thing that was going on until we got there. This is this this anti-Muslim organization that has rallies once a week. And all of a sudden, all the eyes of the world are turned onto Pegida, onto Dresden, where we just happen to be waltzing into. We seem to have things like that happen to us a lot. And while we didn't see the Pegida rally, we weren't there on a Monday, which is when they take place, we did talk to a number of people there that were well aware of the situation. And I have to say, talking to the people at that hackerspace in Dresden and other people in the city watching the media, I think they're in good hands. I think they're not going to let bad things happen in that place. There's plenty of opportunity for bad things. And this was before the whole Charlie Hebdo thing happened. I think they're paying attention, and that's so important to do. The whole country is paying attention, and there are people in Dresden paying attention. So it might be a fight that has to happen between people, reactionaries, and people who are thinking a bit more progressively. We just have to pay attention here, too, as well, because we're certainly not immune from that.
Yeah, I think we did get a good test. We tested we got a sense and kind of a sampling of what the attitude is about that. There's even some humor towards it. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were warning us that fascism is on the rise and things like that.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was an amazing current event going on. And then, of course, as soon as we arrived, there was this massacre that took place in France.
As we were getting off the train in Dresden.
Yeah.
Learning about Pegida for the first time, that's when my phone started. My phone is telling me everything these days. My phone was telling me that there was a shooting at a French satirical newspaper, and the gravity of that situation started to unfold pretty rapidly. That was something else. We have not talked about that pretty much. We talked about it a little bit on Off the Hook, but not on this show and not on any of the recorded shows that we did. So
no.
This is as good an opportunity as any, I suppose, to address it. But let me first, before we do that, say that we continued down into Czech Republic, to Prague, and then went on a more easterly route into Bratislava, which mm-hmm. is Slovakia, used to be part of Czechoslovakia, and then down to Budapest, then over to Vienna, up to Salzburg, and then through Germany again to where we flew out of when we went into Belgium. So, yeah, okay, so Charlie Hebdo. That was a real turning point in many, many ways because it got a dialogue started and it really kind of moved the confrontation up to the boiling point. But you know what? I think we all got through it. You know, I think a lot of people were very angered by what happened. A lot of people were very defiant. I think once we got through that storm, of course, the storm is still going on, we started to realize that, hey, you know, this doesn't have to be a battle that cannot be overcome. This doesn't have to be a religion versus freedom of speech or something like that. This is basically a story about zealotry, fundamentalism, and a different kind of spirit, a spirit of rebelliousness. And in the end, these things have to wind up living with each other. And I'm hoping that we reach that particular stage. I think we will. I think we have to.
Yeah, it feels like a bit of more of a grown discussion and not so polar and in sides and these kinds of things. Like, it's real real discussion and things that are complex and as naturally complex as the world around us, so it's difficult and difficult to accept, but I think it's, as you said, something that we can get through as a really broad global community.
Yeah, absolutely. There were some things that really annoyed me about it. For instance, when there was that massive march in Paris, it annoyed me no end that all these world leaders were there. These are the world leaders that have helped to create this horrible climate that we have to deal with now, a climate of ISIL and of anti-Muslim crowds and of unending war and car bombs and suicide bombers and things like that. All of that is a direct result of the West meddling and trying to influence the way regimes play out in the Middle East. It all is related to that. And, you know, it's got nothing to do with the basic statements of a religion, no more so than any other religion. You give me the writings of anything from Buddhism to Catholicism, and I can help find all sorts of statements in there that, if read in a particular way, can be used for all kinds of ugly purposes.
Uh-huh.
And Islam is no exception to that. Nothing is an exception to that. And I can find atheist doctrine that will say the same thing. It's, you know, it's not really that difficult. It's about how people choose to interpret things and how far they're willing to go. There's no such thing as a polluted religion or a polluted nationality or a polluted race or anything like that, despite what people want to get you to believe. So it just annoyed me to see those leaders marching with what I consider to be the real brave people, the people themselves that were standing up to this nonsense of, you can't draw this particular figure. Of course, you can draw whatever you want. You can insult whoever you wish. And these are just basic things. And I'm also annoyed by people on the left who are kind of cowering and saying, well, we can't really insult these people. We can insult, you know, the people that we're familiar with, that we come from, but yeah, we shouldn't insult Islam because, well, that's different. It's not different. It's the same thing. Insult whoever you wish, but it should not be enveloped in hatred and ignorance, racism, or any other kind of prejudice. Because I consider when you basically are afraid to have a dialogue, that's another form of racism, another form of religious fear. And that's not the world we live in, and that's not what Islam is about either. I don't believe so, not for any stretch. The other thing that really annoyed me a lot was basically people saying, "Well, where was all the outrage for this particular atrocity?" In other words, we're not going to be upset at what happened in Paris because you weren't upset at what happened in X. And I see that virtually for every single event that happens anywhere in the world. It's basically measured by the reaction of people to other events. Why can't we just be outraged at an event, period, without a conditional tie-in to another event?
Keeping score.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. And when that other event happens, as it no doubt will, that's when you confront the person and say, where's your outrage now? Look at what just happened. Look at all the kids who got massacred in Pakistan. Look at the horrors in Nigeria. Things like that. Yeah, it's happening all over the place. And the time for the outrage is when it happens. You know, not some other time when you're comparing it to another event. So, you know, there are so many ways you can tie this in. You can be upset at something, at a suicide bomb in Jerusalem, and also be upset at the Palestine situation. You can do both. One does not have to be attached to the other. And it just annoyed me that people were like, hey, you are aware of all these other people that have suffered. Yeah, that's not the point. The point is, this happened now. It's a horrible thing. It involves journalists. It involves satire. It involves critiquing a religion, a way of life, and paying the ultimate price for that. That needs to be focused on now because it just happened now. So that's those are my feelings on that when it was going on. I was kind of dismayed by the overall reaction.
Yeah, and it's ongoing. This is something that has not really left the news. We're still experiencing, and I think we're going to experience people referring to it and various things changing as a result, escalations, if you will, on all kinds of different issues. So it's actually been something we've looked for in all different types of media and venues because, there's just so many technological things and speech issues that we're covering and interested in anyway. It's affected us, and it's going to continue to kind of, I think, influence the tone of how a lot of reporting and satire, definitely, and I think sensitivity, like, you know, what is our how we define and redefine correctness and the appropriate way to speak and these types of things. So anyway.
Some heavy stuff going on, and that was all hitting us while we were traveling through Dresden, which is where all that basic reactionary activism, I suppose, is taking place right now. Although we didn't really see any evidence of it, we didn't really see any hate slogans or mass rallies or anything like that. It doesn't mean it's not happening, but it's not something that's happening every single day. But it did make you worry a little bit walking through the streets.
And wonder. I think we were looking in Dresden and saying, like, well, I guess the people that would go to these rallies are everybody. You know, all these different types of people in day-to-day life, you know, they have their opinions. And it's not as though you would be able to tell who's, you know, believing in one thing or the other. And, you know, I kind of surprised myself at wondering about that kind of stuff. It's silly. So,
yeah,
but I'm kind of glad we missed that, those rallies, because, well, it might have been too much, because there was quite a bit of other stuff going on as we continued to move back and out of Europe on a westerly route, of course, on the Indian flight. That was really fun, too.
Yeah, it was unusual. I mean, I'm all for different experiences, and I'd never taken an Indian airline before. So it was different. We, for some reason, didn't get the good food, though. I smelled the good food. Some people had it. It was so spicy and nice, but we got something really bland.
It was different.
It wasn't maybe as bad as regular airline food, but it wasn't as great as it could have been. But that's just, you know, it's the nature of traveling. You just have to put up with that.
I embraced it. I get what you're saying, and that's why I think just the differences were kind of enjoyable. Just wow, I'm getting flatbread, and you know, these kinds of funny things. Yeah. It was kind of fun. It was neat to try something a little bit different on the way home. And then we came back and experienced American trains.
Oh boy, yeah, didn't we? We landed in Newark. And well, I guess maybe we just landed at a dead point, but we had to wait about an hour for a train into Manhattan, which is stupid because it's an airport. For God's sake, there's lots of, and of course, all these people kept showing up on the train platform. It was getting overcrowded, and when the train finally got there, nobody could fit onto the train. But they still managed to take all the tickets. That's the difference in Europe. They don't take the tickets. You're traveling on a train, even if it's not crowded. We took those regional rails from Austria into Germany. We took three different trains.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the very last train that somebody even bothered to look at our ticket. Because people just are assumed that they're going to pay for their ride because they're treated like adults. They're not constantly watched over and supervised. And they're treated better. There are more trains. There are less crowded platforms. I don't mean to get off on a tirade here, but it just affects who you are when you're treated a certain way. And I fear in America, we're treated like we can't handle any kind of responsibility. So as soon as we're given that responsibility, we completely flip out and go nuts.
And can't manage it.
Yeah. Now there was that horrible train crash.
Oh my gosh.
Last week.
We
heard about in, I believe it's Westchester or Rockland or somewhere north of White Plains in New York. This is the epitome. This is the epitome of the problem that America is facing. I don't mean to be desensitized to the tragedy or anything like that, but it points out so many problems that we have. First of all, it's a head-on collision on the Taconic State Parkway, all right? Just to set up the story, a head-on collision. Man, there were so many bad drivers around here. I cannot even begin. You had an incident with a couple of drivers, didn't you?
Yeah, I was coming back from one part of town, and I just got one of those drivers that's right on you the whole way. You know they're mad at you. I did like a triple take.
You can say that right on your ass. You can say that.
Right on my ass. Right the on whole your ass. Time. And yeah. I had that same patience that I conjured when things weren't going quite so well.
Can I just be a little more specific, because I know there are people out there listening and I just want to make this clear, because people need to know this, and if you are out there, you will know this. There is a line. I think it's right to the east of Port Jefferson, here in on Long Island. And I think that's that gets you into Miller Place, Rocky Point, those areas. Now, it doesn't matter if you're on Route 25A or if you're on North Country Road, but there was a button that gets pushed right about there, and all of a sudden, people are driving really aggressively, and they're right on your ass, as we said, or just really impatient, wanting to go fast. Doesn't matter if you're on a one-lane road or a four-lane highway, they are all of a sudden impatient. You get a little further west, and that goes away, at least for a particular area that goes away. I notice it out there. I notice it just a little bit out east. I don't notice it on the South Shore, not to that extent. Mm-hmm. On the North Shore in that area, I don't know if everybody just wants to get out of Rocky Point or if everybody wants to get into Rocky Point. I don't know what the impatience is. But I have noticed that. I have commented on that before. So I was not surprised when you told me that's what happened.
Indeed. Anyway, it's absolutely familiar, the kinds of bad drivers there are. And you've got to just go back to that patience and understand, look, they have no idea where I'm at, what I'm doing. You know, I have a full tank of fuel. I'm driving cautiously. Maybe I haven't had my lunch yet, or, you know, whatever hurry they're in, it is not worth, you know, putting myself in jeopardy or I mean, you've got all these
snow.
I could have been really aggressive, but it was that patience, drawing on that, just letting things kind of go and occur the way they will. I was just worried that I had done something wrong. I said to triple take, and then, you know, you realize, no, I'm not the insane person here, and I'm being cautious for these driveways where, you know, a kid or somebody could come flying out.
That's the thing.
It's hard as cement.
Mountains of snow that are blocking the view.
Right.
And, you know, if it's not mountains of snow, there's big SUVs parked by the driveway. And you can't see. You have to be somewhat careful. You can't just go whizzing past at 50 miles an hour, which is what people seem to want you to do. It's not right.
Yeah. So they had a head-on collision. Somehow someone maybe entered an on-ramp or something?
I don't know. It's not the first time it happened on that road. How hard is it on a highway, on a real highway with trees between the lanes, to go the right way? But obviously somebody wasn't able to do that. When we were driving in Germany, it's scary because everyone's going so damn fast. No speed limit.
They know what they're doing.
They are the best drivers I have ever seen. They really are. Well, the truck drivers, they're a little bit more aggressive. They will cut you off a lot quicker than they will here. I don't know why that is. But the amount of accidents we saw pales in comparison to the amount you'll see just riding on the expressway out to Stony Brook.
Or in Los Angeles.
And I'm talking about riding for several days in Germany on roads with no speed limit. People there, they know what they're doing. They're trained. Here, we seem to sort of not care that much. And that's why you see these cars that are driving with their tire over the yellow line, or they're just overly aggressive, or they're running red light. I see so many cars just going right through lights because it doesn't affect me. I'm just going to do that anyway and not even look around. That's why there are so many accidents. That's why you have to always be on the lookout. And that's what happened in upstate New York.
So the scenario is everybody is now rerouting, right? They're going on a different road, but yet still driving like it's the highway.
Well, this is the problem. that head-on collision led to the road being closed.
Uh-huh.
And the road being closed led to all these cars being rerouted and a lot of cars going over that train crossing. And I think we all heard the story of what happened. This poor woman who was driving some kind of SUV found herself on the crossing when the gate went down. And instead of getting out of the way, she got out of her car to see if the gate had damaged the back of her Mercedes.
Probably hearing it scrape or something.
Whatever. But the point is, anyone who would get out of their car at a train crossing clearly has not been trained as to how dangerous a situation that is.
Yeah.
You should never, ever get out of a train crossing unless you're about to run like the devil out of there, because it's the most dangerous place you can possibly be.
Yeah.
And basically, the horror that happened afterwards is what we've all seen on the news. A train crashed into her car, killing her instantly, but then killing five other people on the train. Now, that is something else that in America is unacceptable, I think. And it's something that I don't think would happen in more industrialized countries like Germany that have better infrastructure. What happened was the third rail, first of all, it's an unusual situation having a third rail there in the first place. Should be overhead wires, but they have a third rail, and it's also a unique kind of a third rail. Somehow it launched into the air, pierced the train, caused a massive fire, killed five people. The other thing, which I found unique to America, we're used to these fast trains. We're riding regional trains that go pretty fast, I think something like 110 kilometers an hour. And those aren't the high-speed ones. The high-speed ones go 200 kilometers an hour. The train here, at the time of impact, was going 48 miles an hour. You know, that's not that fast, but it's considered fast here.
Yeah.
And look at the damage that it did going that speed. So you have so many situations. You have bad drivers. You have too many cars. You have untrained motorists. You have trains that clearly are out of date and not doing a good job at what they do, and also unsafe. How much more is it going to take for us to realize this is something we need to devote some attention to? We need to fix this and stop bickering over, oh, our train's a good idea in the first place. Yeah, they're a good idea because Germany has cars and trains. They use both of them to the max, and they're good at what they do. And I think we need to look at countries like that as an example. Imagine how amazing it could be if you could get around on high-speed rail, get places easily, and have good drivers at the same time, you know. And it's just, it frustrates me to see all the setbacks here, because I know we can do better. I really do.
Well, I think people are caring more, and I think you'll see in the next couple of years, infrastructure hopefully will be something that is well, something we work on. We're less frenetic about it and more just basically together, as far as let's do this right, let's get the right people building, let's get the right people maintaining, let's care about what we have. Mm-hmm. And invest in it in the right ways, and in the small, the right ways, nothing crazy, but just really the logical and the useful stuff.
Yeah, and I think also the way to do it is region by region. If you think of the whole country at once, we're a massive country. We're huge. You can't fix everything at once. And the reason why we see other countries overseas doing such a good job is because they're smaller. It's easier to tackle. So if you have, say, just New York dealing with their problems and really aggressively fixing things without being slowed down by, say, Wyoming.
Right, right.
Not to pick on Wyoming, but it's basically, you have to regionalize certain things, and by doing that, you get things done. It's just compartmentalizing, I suppose. Anyway, so that's my opinion on that.
Yeah, we'll actually speak, I think, at greater length about this. We've had some conversations, and we're always inspired by travel to improve and learn more about all things transportation related, because they're fascinating and they get us moving, and they are the lifeblood, the pace, the rhythm of the economy and the overall social and cultural world we navigate. So it's fascinating stuff. I don't know. It's always fun to come back and use the familiar modes and discuss the things that are going on and the comparisons and things we would aspire for. Well, here we are.
It's also good when you see things getting better. You know, I'm all for that. I'm all for us.
Yes.
Basically improving our infrastructure and just learning and doing things a little bit better. And there are so many ways we can do that. It shouldn't be a defensive type of a thing where we just say, oh, no, we're better. And no, you have to admit sometimes it's not better. It's basically frustrating and
unbalanced.
We can learn. We can learn from these other experiences. Yes, totally. Should we try to take phone calls? Because we haven't in so long.
Yeah, we can. I'm up for maybe doing that. I can maybe try to help. I'm still working on.
You're trying to find a 7-second ID that we can use to effortlessly go into delay. Well, okay. And look at that, the phone calls are ringing immediately. What I'd like to do, though, while you're doing that, very quickly, because we haven't done this in a while, and I know it's something that most people don't care about, but we have to focus on it because we started this back in August with the FA Cup. All right?
I knew you were going to say
that.
Yeah,
well, just very quickly, all right? We started in August. You picked a team at random, Nunnington Griff. You just liked the way they sounded, and yet that was the team out of hundreds of teams that were playing in the extra preliminary round. We picked them to go all the way. Of course, they didn't go anywhere. They lost 10-0 in the extra preliminary round to Coles Hill Town. So then we picked up Coles Hill Town, and we took them into the preliminary round. And, of course, they actually made it through that. They beat Bromsgrove Sporting, but then they lost in the first round qualifying to Barwell. So then we followed Barwell into the second round qualifying, and they defeated Norwich United. So we followed them all the way into the third round qualifying. And, again, they beat another team. They beat Curzon Ashton, so we wound up in the fourth round qualifying, where they wound up losing to a team called Altrincham. And, of course, I know I'm pronouncing all this wrong, folks. I know this, all right? But it's quicker if I just do it wrong. So they wound up losing to Altrincham. So then we followed them into what's known as the first round proper. That's when the mass media starts to pay attention. And Altrincham actually lost to a team called Blyth Spartans. And by this point, the attendance had reached over 1,000. Before that, attendance was anything from 92 to 500. But that game with Blyth Spartans and Altrincham, 1,700 people showed up for that one. And Blyth Spartans actually won. Now, Blyth Spartans was a 7th division team, and they had beaten a 5th division team in Altrincham. So right there, it was starting to get interesting. In the second round proper, they played Hartlepool, and I am pronouncing that right because somebody schooled me on that. It looks like Hartlepool, but it's actually Hartlepool. And they were playing a fourth division team known as Hartlepool. They beat them too, 2-1. And that was pretty cool. So here we are, a 7th division team beating a 4th division team, this time in front of a crowd of 3,700 people, making it into the third round proper where they met Birmingham City, a 2nd division team. This might be a team you actually heard of. And that was before another crowd of about 3,700 people. And unfortunately, this time they lost. It can only go so far. So then we picked up Birmingham City into the 4th round proper. And they were playing West Bromwich Albion, a 1st division team, yes, in the Premier League. And they lost to them 2-1 before a crowd of 28,000. So as you can see, it's getting bigger and bigger. And now, this Saturday, Valentine's Day, the team we are now following, West Bromwich Albion, will be playing West Ham United. You've probably heard of them. Those are 2 first division teams. So that's the 5th round proper. After that, 6th round proper, and then the semifinal, and then the final in May. When we arrived in Brussels, we turned on the television set and we saw one of these games being played. We saw a game between Cambridge United, a 4th division team, and Manchester United, which is, of course, a 1st division team. They were playing at the home ground of Cambridge United. Cambridge United was way, you know, out of their league, literally. They were in the 4th division and Manchester United is in the 1st division. And they were playing on their home turf before a crowd of about 8,000. And they tied. They kept Manchester United from scoring, and they didn't score themselves, 0-0. But what we saw at the end of that game was celebrations, wild celebrations from Cambridge United because they had held them to a draw. They didn't win, they didn't lose, but they did win by keeping them scoreless. And it was just unusual to see that. You wouldn't see that in the States.
It was riveting. It was really something to see.
Now, what happened in that particular case, because they kept them to a draw, They had to play another game at the home turf of Manchester United. I'm not really sure what determines who gets the home court advantage, because Cambridge United was well below Manchester United, yet they had the home court advantage the first time. Second time, not so lucky. They had to play at Old Trafford, which is Manchester United's home court, and they got schooled there 3-0. But the interesting thing is that when it was Cambridge United's home court, home turf, about 8,000 people showed up. You know how many people showed up at Manchester United's? 74,000. So obviously, whoa, that's kind of hard, those those odds. But wow, it was interesting to see. And that's all the FA Cup that we're going to cover. But wow, Nobody else in this country is covering it to this extent. So are we going to go into delay?
Is that right? Does that need to be...
No, that's got nothing to do with it. That channel is completely... No, you can... Oh, yeah, that one. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? That's program. That's program. No.
Yes, that's program. That should be program. And we go to audition. We go into audition at the exact same moment that you hit that green button.
Okay, so and the phone goes into audition?
What you should do, Kyle, is turn me down completely so that I'm not while I'm still talking. And once I'm finished talking, turn me down, and then you press that button and immediately come up in audition. But are your headphones in audition? Otherwise, you'll get very confused. Yeah, okay.
Godspeed. Woo, woo, woo! Hey, this is Dr. Demento. You never know what the poop you're going to hear next on WUSB, and that's the way I like it.
Okay, and I think we're successfully in delay.
Yeah, I forgot to unplug my headphones, but I didn't. No.
Okay, and the phone should be in audition, too.
The phone should be in audition, yes. I think we're all set. And all you do is press that little red button.
Okay.
See who's out there.
Off the wall, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, good to have you guys back.
Oh, good. It's glad to be. I'm glad to hear that. You're happy to have us back. We're glad to be back ourselves.
Hey, where are you calling from?
Right now, I'm in Quorum.
Okay.
Hey, listen. When you guys were driving around in Europe, did you have to get an international driver's license or driver's permit?
I had one, but it just expired. Right as we were leaving, I believe it just been out of expiry, and I think in the Schengen area, you're actually okay for the most part, I think, especially in Germany.
You don't have to get one, but it's cool to get one. And if you go to a AAA office, it's very easy to get one. You need a passport photo, but it's a cool document to have, and you can literally go anywhere in the world without worrying about not being able to drive.
Yeah, I'm going to Japan again this summer, and I got one just for the heck of it. It's exactly as you described it, very simple.
Yeah, it's worth, actually, it's very very much in your interest to have. It basically has many pages, and they all say the same thing, basically that this is an international driver's license in every different script and language you might encounter. And it just gives pertinent information about you and has your picture, as he said.
Even if you are not going anyplace, it's worth it to go and get an international driver's license because it's a cool document to have.
It is cool.
I thought so, too. Did you guys also hear about the high-speed rail in California that they're trying to go ahead with?
I've been hearing bits and pieces about that. This is between L.A. and San Francisco?
I think. I didn't hear exactly the whole bit myself, but I was sort of kind of glad that they were going ahead with it because I think it's, It's due. It really is. It's due.
It's interesting to see, and I think people in the various states should have a lot of pride in their transit system and then compete with other states, maybe. It's kind of what I would liken to the union in Europe, where each country has their system of pretty significant quality and prominence, and then they interconnect, and that's where you get the ability to travel around like that. I wish we had that here on the state level.
The other place to keep an eye out is in the Midwest. I know Chicago, in that area, they're developing high-speed rail that might even be the fastest in the country, and that's really worth looking at. And it sort of speaks to that what we were saying before about regionalism. If they're focusing on these places, California, Midwest, New York, then we'll see massive improvements, and then the rest of the country can link into that, and then before you know it, we'll have a nationwide system.
And the clocks will say the same time.
That would be very cool. The last thing I wanted to ask is, do you guys have a way of playing the show, how do I say it? Like, if I ring in, I'll hear the show? As opposed to just hearing the ring on the phone.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
That's on our wish list for the next installation we're doing for a board and stuff.
You see, this is where being part of the university is a bad thing, because we're tied into this digital phone system that's incompatible with everything, so there's no way to put you on hold and feed that down the line. On an analog system, it would be a piece of cake, but we're not allowed to have an analog system because we're part of a bureaucracy. There are a few hurdles we have to jump through, but that's definitely a good idea.
I remember they used to have it back in the day.
Yeah, right. Back in the day, back in like the 80s, we were able to do something like this. And now, because of all digitization and not thinking ahead, we can't.
brother.
There's a lot of tools, and well, we're hopeful, ever hopeful, that we can change and adapt and get new technologies and systems to supersede these hiccups.
Hey, can I ask you something? Because you're in Corum. I don't know if you ever make it out east a little bit, but did you hear what we were saying about people driving more aggressively a little east of Port Jefferson? Do you think that's true?
Actually, yeah, I was, I sort of kind of grew up, wasn't born in that area, but I sort of kind of grew up around that area. And that is actually true. I'm not sure if it's the housewives having to get home from their empathy meetings or whatever it is, or people just not wanting to take their time and drive safely. But on the same hand, I don't know if I would say further west it's any better. Sadly, I think it's all of Long Island.
Well, let's get some trains and more trains everywhere. Trains, trolleys, trams, everything.
You know what people need to do when they're driving? They need to look at the car ahead of them and imagine that that's the person closest to them, like, you know, their mother or their kid or something like that. Imagine that and then treat that person that way, all right? Because that's really what it's all about, is treating people with respect. Okay, maybe they're driving a little too slow, but they're going to get where they're going safely. And you might get where you're going about 20 seconds later.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Not for nothing. Who's got that 20 seconds? Who's got that kind of time? I mean, really.
Okay. Hey, well, thanks for your call, and we'll give somebody else a chance to say hi.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. Glad to be back, guys.
Thanks. Bye. Actually, Kyle, I don't know if we can... If somebody calls right away, we can do that, but...
we can do anything.
We have a five-minute outro, and
we're in control. We have this whole board to ourselves here. We can do anything.
Yeah, but Finn is about to come in, and he, you know how he gets.
I do know how Finn gets, so we should leave Delayland, and...
let's leave Delayland, but let's give out the... Well, can you bring me back? And I'll plug my headphones in over there.
Of course. And I think we're back from Delayland. I'm pardoning...
I'm not back. Oh, wait, no, I am back.
I'm pardoning for...
Oh, am I live?
My delay.
I'm live. Oh, my goodness. Wow, this is so weird.
I think I'm live, too.
No, I'm sort of in... I'm in delay in my mind, but my voice is live.
You sound very live, and I'm happy to be here. Well, that's been a show, right?
It's been a show. It's been one heck of a show. Our email address is otw@2600.com. A lot of people ask us what the OTW stands for. It stands for off the wall. What, are you dumb? I mean, come on. Obviously, it's off the wall. Good Lord. We have an outro that we planned specifically because we were going to broadcast the SpaceX launch. But they decided to postpone it, so it kind of doesn't make any sense anymore. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do about that. But this is all about going around the universe in 80 days. We had this all sorted out. We had a thumb drive. We plugged it in. What, it's not working anymore?
No, it's always working. It's working. Everything's working. Everything's great here. It's WUSB off the wall. Good night, everyone.
time and space are one. We can no longer see the sun. In fact, there's nothing there for us to see. For light is nowhere near as fast as we.
Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution. Tonight until 8 p.m., we're going to be talking to Duke Garwood, musical mystic and shaman and all the rest of that, and all the way from the UK, and he's going to be on the air with us in just a few minutes, and we're going to be previewing his album, Heavy Love, right here at WUSB Stone. We'll be right back.
Dusty came too soon, shuffling through the gloom. Well, get on and get down, help me move this brick of years. Take this blade, cut me deep, and you can have half of me. Well, take this blade and scale me smooth, you can have all of me. Why then I'll say there's only love? Then I'll say there's only love, and love is all there is. Twitch your ass to the wind, and I will take all of you.
Duke Garwood, who's going to be on the air with us in just a few moments, right here from the UK. And yeah, beautiful new record just dropped today called Heavy Love, and that was the title track. An amazing, amazing record, you know, sort of reminiscent, let's say, of Daniel Lanois. Whole bunch of people, but completely by himself, and he's really, really found his voice on this brand new record. Heavy Love. Here's another tune from it. And right after this, we're going to talk to Duke Garwood on the air on WUSB Stony Brook. This is called Burning Seas.
Call out. seas they guide us in. My love and me, we're bound by sin. My love and me, we're bound by sin.
Garwood right here on WUSB Stony Brook. Duke just came out with a new record called Heavy Love, and we're going to talk about that in just 1 second on the air right here on WUSB Stony Brook. After this, we're going to give away a couple of copies of the brand new Duke Garwood record, Heavy Love. But we're going to hear the interview first, which we just did the other day, and clearly